And so thank you, Lord, for the way that you have touched us and the way you have loved us. And Father, we pray that we would continue to offer ourselves to you now as we worship through preaching. Help us to preach, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this seems like a kind of a strange time to do this, and yet I need to just get this off my chest. I need to tell you about an area of my life or a time of my life that not many people know about. There was a time in my life of profound confusion. For months, my mind was nothing but a blur. I had lost control, really, of all my faculties. I would literally lie in my bed for hours in my own filth, weeping. I spoke in monosyllables, and my words were unintelligible. It seemed like all that I wanted to do was drink and burp. When I was at my very worst, toward the start of that time, I was utterly naked, covered in blood and slime, screaming in terror as an unknown man spanked my naked buttocks. It was August 5th, 1961, the day I was born. And I'm telling you, if it wouldn't have been for the love of my mom, I don't think I even would have made it through that very first year to my first birthday. But this lady in the front row, she saw me lying there in my blood and slime, wailing in pain and crying in terror. And she picked me up and she held me to herself and she nursed life into me. She gave her very life to me and I lived, and she's bearing fruit 41 years later, my mom. Well, you know, psychologists and sociologists have done advanced experiments on like rhesus monkeys and surrogate mothers and stuff, and they tell us we all need a mother. In fact, it's very clear that God has designed us all in such a way that we desperately need a mother. Each one of us needs a mother. Who's your mother? Matthew 12, verse 46. While Jesus was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside, asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus said, "Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." The will of his Father in heaven is that all who see and believe in the Son will be saved. And so if you see and believe in Jesus, you are Jesus's mother. And you are Jesus's brother and sister. And did you know that brothers and sisters have the same mother? So who's your mother? Same as Jesus' mother. In Revelation 12, we meet the mother of Jesus, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. She's more than just Mary, who was married to Joseph. She is Jesus' mother, but she's also your mother. She's the church, God's people who bear testimony to Jesus. And through her, Christ is born. And through her, Christ is formed in you. Through her, you are born again. And we're born again as babies. And remember, babies just don't grow up overnight. They turn into toddlers who like to play in the toilet. And then they turn into school children who talk back to their parents and say bad words when relatives come to visit. And then they turn into junior hires and teenagers. And it just gets worse. And all along, they need a some other. Well, the evil one lies to you that you don't need a mother. And he lies to you that you don't have a mother. And he lies to you that if you have a mother, well, she certainly wouldn't accept you lying there naked, covered in blood, unable to clean yourself up of your own filth. But you see, that's exactly what mothers do. And the church is your mother. Your mother is a universal and tremendous mystery. And yet in times, she wraps herself in times and places in a name like First Baptist, or Evergreen Fellowship, or Rockland Community Church, or Lookout Mountain Community Church. The church is your mother. And somehow, if you worship here, this is your mother. This church is your mother. And this is her 20th anniversary. And that also means if you worship Jesus here in spirit and in truth, you are my mother. Happy Mother's Day. And so I'd just like to tell you some of the things I like about my mother. Number one, she loves all of her children unconditionally. Not because she has to, but because she wants to. It's her nature. Moms just love babies. Helpless, crying, incoherent, covered in blood and slime. When our first baby, Jonathan, was born, my wife went through 24 hours of labor. She kept passing out on the delivery table. When he was born, he had a cone head, black eye, and he was just covered in blood. And I remember looking at him and looking at her and not knowing exactly what to think or feel. She took one glance at Jonathan and she exclaimed in the delivery room, "Oh, I want another one!" That's a mom. It's their nature. Well, you see, we'd like to think that when we were born again, we were not naked and incoherent, wailing in our own blood. We'd like to think that we were born again because we had our act together and impressed God the Father as wonderful candidates for eternal life. Ezekiel 16, God speaks to Jerusalem. He says this, "On the day you were born, your cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water to make you clean, nor were you rubbed with salt or wrapped in cloths. I passed by and saw you kicking about in your own blood. And as you lay there in your blood, I said to you, live." And so my point is, you were born again as a baby. And you were born of a mother. And God nourishes you through a mother. And the good mother loves because it's her nature. She loves all her children with all herself. A few minutes after Jimmy Carter was inaugurated President of the United States, a reporter got a hold of his mother, Lillian, and she asked Lillian, "Lillian, aren't you just so proud of your son?" And she said, "Which one?" Good moms are proud of their sons just because they exist. Whether their claim to fame is Billy Beer, as in Billy Carter, or President of the United States, as in Jimmy Carter. My good mother loves all her children in all their diversity. Some grew up in Sunday school. Some grew up in covens. Some grew up in both. Some are Roman Catholic by tradition. Some are Baptist by tradition. Some are something else by tradition. Some are all of the above. Some are both. Some are scientists and some are poets and some are both. Some are Bible scholars and some are charismatics. And many are both, I hope. But she loves all her children with all their various talents and gifts and handicaps and doubts and fears and sins. Her children are any that are conceived of her groom and that bear the life of their father. She gives that life, her life, to her children. And that's number two. She gives her life to her children. My earthly mother, Evelyn, good name, Evelyn. She literally gave her life to me. And I always grew up just believing that she would sacrifice her life for me. I would come home from college, CU Boulder, on the weekends, and without advance notice, she would stay up all night long typing my term papers for me. And I just thought that was normal. That's what mothers do. It's their nature. Type your term papers. But it wasn't just deeds and term papers, words or formulas. It was unconscious gestures and expressions, a spirit that said, I will love you forever, and I will always adore you. And that spirit of love is life. It's not a formula or a technique or a program. Recently read about a mother that was reading a book on parenting. And she felt really convicted about her own parenting skills. And so she put the book down and she walked up to her son's room, knocked on the door and said, honey, do you got a minute? And he said, sure, mom, come on in. So she came in, she sat down and she said, well, I just need to tell you, I just wanted to tell you that I love the way you play the drums. And he said, thanks. She got up, walked out, started down the stairs, stopped, turned around, came back up to her son's room, knocked on the door and said, honey, I'm sorry, do you got a minute? And he said, well, yeah, come in. So she came in, she sat down, she said, you know, I was here just a moment ago, but I didn't really say what I needed to say, what I want to say. What I want to say is, well, your dad and I, we think you're great. And he said, okay. Thanks. She got up, walked out, halfway down the stairs, realized, I didn't say what I wanted to say. She turned around, she walked back, knocked on the door, and he screamed, yeah, I got a minute. And so she came in, sat down on the bed, and she said, I've tried two times now, and this time I'm going to say it. Honey, I love you. I love you with all my heart. Not just your dad and I love you, but I love you. And he looked at her. He walked over to her and he gave her a hug and he said, I love you too. And she stood up and walked out the door. And as she was leaving the room, he said, Mom, do you got a minute? She smiled, turned around and sat back down. And he looked at her and he said, Mom, did you just get back from a seminar? You know, I don't think Lookout Mountain Community Church feels like she just got back from a seminar. I mean, I don't think she feels like just one more purpose-driven church, or one more seeker-sensitive church, or one more Presbyterian church, or one more church that learns how to be a church from some book somewhere. The love and the life are deeper than that, more personal than that. And her love and her life, they tell us who we are. And it tells us who our Father is. Karl Barth was one of the greatest, perhaps the greatest theologian of the 20th century. Toward the end of his career, a reporter asked him this question. Sir, you've written these great volumes about God, great learned tomes about all the difficult problems of God. Well, how do you know that they're all true? Karl Barth turned and smiled at the reporter and said, because my mother says they are. And that's a pretty good answer. Because ultimately, truth is not contained in a book. But it is encountered in person. For truth is a person. And Karl Barth met that person. He met truth. He met life and love in his mother. He could have been talking about his mom, or he could have been talking about his church, or he could have been talking about both. I can talk about both. And I've met Jesus in you, my mother. And through you, he tells me who I am. A good mother tells us who we are. That's number three. And number four is she'll be honest about it. Honest because she's married to the truth. And she knows the truth loves her children, and the truth sets them free. Love is truth. And so she'll speak truth, even if it hurts like hell. She'll speak truth to her children, and she'll speak truth about herself. Years ago, this session of this church went on a retreat, and we asked the question, well, who is Lookout Mountain Community Church? And what is it that God is really calling us to? And we came up with words like authentic and honest and vulnerable and incarnate and real. And we coined that phrase before reality TV. Real church in an unreal world. And I love this about my church, my mother. She wants me to be real. More than put on a show. She wants me to be real, even if it embarrasses her in front of some of the other mothers around town. Who think the things that I say can be a bit much, even if they're the very things that my father said. You know, mothers like to get together and compare their children and compete. Often when a mother is insecure about her groom's love, she'll do that. And then instead of serving her children, she'll use her children to feel good about herself. And she'll act like she's serving the children, but she's really dependent on the children serving her. She's codependent. So she wants them to stay children, dependent children, obedient children, uniform children. She demands uniformity and conformity, all in the place of love. And so her children serve her, but they serve her in shame according to law. They serve her and yet they hate her. They resent her like Pharisees. Number five, I love that. Look how Mount Community Church, my mother, grants freedom and she's not codependent. Anthony DeMello, he writes, when a child is sure of his mother's love, he forgets his mother. He goes out to explore the world. He is curious. He looks for a frog to put in his mouth, that kind of thing. When a child is hovering around his mother, it's a bad sign. He's insecure. Maybe his mother has been trying to suck love out of him, not giving him all the freedom and assurance he wants. His mother has always been threatening in many subtle ways to abandon him. Well, I get my paycheck from my mother for services rendered. And someday that will come to a stop, and someday it should come to a stop, but my mother will never abandon me. DeMello writes, the healthy child is interested in things. He's not clinging to his mother because he's loved by his mother. I love that at this church, the children are curious and they have freedom to stick frogs in their mouths if they want to. You know, in some churches, you have to be in their programs, doing their missions under their direction and their control according to their organizational scheme. I love that fruit just happens here and we didn't map it out. We didn't plan it out. We don't control it. You know, we have people that just started providing fresh water and fresh water systems for the Dominican Republic and a whole bunch of other hurting nations now, moving out into other. We have people right here in this service that are providing electricity for rural villages in Africa. We have people that are preaching the gospel where it's never been heard before. People that are ministering to the homeless and leading church for folks in retirement homes. We have people speaking around the world and writing books about Jesus. People ministering to folks with AIDS and sexual addictions and demonic oppressions and unwanted pregnancies. We have young people that are leading youth groups in places like Ireland and the Dominican Republic. Moms and dads adopting kids from the other side of the globe. And we never sat down and mapped any of that out. Yeah. It just happened. And that's only a sample of those things that we can quantify. And there's a whole lot more, but even more important than that is the way you hug your wife tonight. The way you respect your husband. The way you speak truth to your employer and the way you listen to your neighbor. The way you kiss your kids as you tuck them into bed, because truth and love are caught more than taught. For they are a life, a presence, a spirit. You know, experts say that half of what we know as adults, we learned in the first year of our lives. That means we learned it before we were able to even comprehend language. We learned it through a touch, a glance, a hug, our mother's skin. It's the touch of grace and love and freedom. Number six, the good mother bears the fruit of love in freedom, rather than the fruit of law and shame. And that means that she's willing to endure some pain. That means the good mother is willing to be crucified from time to time. For at some point, children rebel, and the good mother has to endure the pain and trust the spirit of their father, the spirit of truth, life, and love. Trust that spirit that she has loved into them to bring them back home. Number seven, the good mother, my mother, Lookout Mountain Community Church, knows that the source of her truth, life, and love is communion with her groom. She knows that fruit happens when she is open and surrendered to the Father's word, when she's open to the bridegroom, to the seed, to Jesus. And so who's my mother? Whoever does the will of my Father, said Jesus. And the Father's will is that we believe in the one he has sent and receive his spirit into naked, broken flesh like fertile soil so we would bear fruit, the fruit of his spirit. And that's what I like about my mother. Seven things. Now, I'm sure that you could put it in some other order or use some other words or whatever, but that's what I like about my mother, Lookout Mountain Community Church. Unconditionally loving, life-giving, identity-shaping, truth-telling, freedom-granting, spirit-dependent, and fruit-bearing. And some of you are saying, Peter, you're nuts! That's crazy! Stop it! I know it's Mother's Day and the Hallmark Corporation is breathing down your neck, but be honest! I've been hurt by the mother. I've been wounded by that mother. I've been abandoned by that mother. Oh, I've been abused by the church. What you are saying, Peter, is not true. And that's true. It's not true. And yet it's also not true that it's not true. That is, it's true and it's not true. Hey, do you remember that parable Jesus told about the wheat and the tares? Do you know the Lookout Mountain Community Church, what you call Lookout Mountain Community Church, is wheat and tares? The true Lookout Mountain Community Church is all wheat. It is that part of the visible church that is surrendered to the spirit of her Lord and her groom. The true church is Christ in us. The true church is his spirit inhabiting us. The true church is the glory of God in a manger. And this is a manger, my friend, but it hides the glory of God. I've told you some of the pain that I've experienced in churches, especially my home church when I was a kid. And I told you of my experience years ago wherein God told me in words, he said, Peter, you don't love my bride very much, do you? Do you see that not loving his bride is also not loving my mother? Well, that very night, he literally pinned me to the floor and revealed to me that all along he'd been loving me through my mother, the church. I had pictures that just flooded my mind as he was pinned to the floor. And now I knew that at my home church there was at least one abuser who hurt my family deeply. I also knew that at my home church there were wolves in sheep's clothing that had hurt my family deeply. I knew that at my home church there were tares and they looked like wheat. They were all at my church, but Jesus showed me that he was also at my church, but not only at my church, in my church. He was in Mrs. Delzell in Sunday school class. I mean, I saw this picture of my Sunday school teacher and the flannel graph board. And he was in Gary, my youth pastor. And he was in my mom and my dad. He was in all his people that had surrendered to him. And they were my mother. Paul writes, the Jerusalem above is free. And she is our mother. John reveals the New Jerusalem is coming down. The New Jerusalem is hidden in this old Jerusalem somehow, like a treasure in a field, or like pearls buried in the mud. So the church may look and act like the great whore at times, but she hides the bride, your mother. And you are commanded by your father to love your mother. And forgive your mother. For y'all are your mother. And now I'd like to read my favorite schmaltzy Mother's Day book. Love You Forever. A mother held her new baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. That baby grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 2 years old and he ran all around the house. He pulled all the books off the shelves. He pulled all the food out of the refrigerator and he took his mother's watch and flushed it down the toilet. Sometimes his mother would say, this kid is driving me crazy. But at nighttime, when that two-year-old was quiet, she opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby, you'll be. The little boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was 9 years old, and he never wanted to come in for dinner. He never wanted to take a bath, and when Grandma visited, he always said bad words. Sometimes his mother wanted to sell him to the zoo. But at nighttime, when he was asleep, the mother quietly opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of the bed. If he was really asleep, she picked up that 9-year-old boy, rocked him back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth, and while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The boy grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a teenager. He had strange friends and he wore strange clothes and he listened to strange music. Sometimes the mother felt like she was in a zoo. But at nighttime, when that teenager was asleep, the mother opened the door to his room, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of the bed, and if he was really asleep, she picked up that great big boy and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. The teenager grew. He grew and he grew and he grew. He grew until he was a grown-up man. He left home and got a house across town. But sometimes, on dark nights, the mother got into her car and drove across town. If all the lights in her son's house were out, she opened his bedroom window, crawled across the floor, looked up over the side of his bed, and if that great big man was really asleep, she picked him up and rocked him back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. And while she rocked him, she sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. Well, that mother, she got older and older and older. And one day she called up her son and said, you'd better come see me because I'm very old and sick. So her son came to see her. When he came in the door, she tried to sing the song. She sang, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. But she couldn't finish because she was too old and sick. The son went to his mother and picked her up and rocked her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sang this song, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my mommy you'll be. When the son came home that night, he stood for a long time at the top of the stairs. Then he went into the room where his very new baby daughter was sleeping. He picked her up in his arms and very slowly rocked her back and forth, back and forth, and back and forth. And while he rocked her, he sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. And that, my friends, is the story of the church and the story of how she grows. And love you forever, forever, love you forever is your father. And love you forever is your groom. God is love. He is hesed love, covenant love, unconditional love. Forever love. And some of you have been loved by your father and your mother. You've been loved by your mother a long time, but you don't love her very well in return. Repent. And love your mother. Love your church. She may be this particular church. She may be another church. She may be the person sitting next to you. The mother in the story, you know, she mothered her child, and then her child mothered her and mothered others. He became mother. Well, some of you hate Mother's Day. You hate Mother's Day because you had an evil mother. Or because you don't know who your mother is. Well, listen. The Jerusalem above is your mother. And the true church is your mother. Some of you hate Mother's Day because you think you're a poor mother. You've never had children, and you desperately wanted to have children. Or maybe you abandoned a child or aborted a child or killed a child. Well, at this table, the great bridegroom, he washes you clean with his very own blood, and he makes you his bride, and more than that, he impregnates you with his very life, his very own spirit. Everyone that comes to this table in faith is a mother. The mother. The great mother, Eve bearing our Lord's life into this dead world. 1 Corinthians 15:45, thus it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. If Jesus is the last Adam, that is the eschatos Adam. That's the Greek, eschatos Adam, the eschatological Adam. If Jesus is the uttermost Adam, and he is, if Jesus is the uttermost Adam, then you, my friends, are the uttermost Eve, the bride of Christ, the new Jerusalem, the mother of life. Isaiah 54, sing, O barren one who did not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in travail, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her that is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Hold not back, lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your descendants will possess the nations, for your maker is your husband. And so, on the night that our maker was betrayed, he took bread, and having given thanks, he broke it, saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of me. And he had already told them, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, you have no life in you. And so, bride of Christ, we invite you to come to the table and receive his life. Tear off a piece of the bread, dip it in the cup. The black cups are wine. The purple cups are juice. They're both blood. If you don't want Jesus, you can just walk by. But if you want Jesus, bride of Christ, receive him. And by the way, if you think you're not worthy, Well, don't you understand that's what makes you worthy? And if you think you are worthy and you deserve this somehow, then you don't get it. You've been born again. And he wants to breathe his life into you. A word. Jesus. Live. Happy Mother's Day. Well, the bride is also a mother. She went to the banqueting table. That's from the Song of Solomon. Happy Mother's Day. And now before you go, let me say, some people really do hate Mother's Day because they feel like a homeless child. Some people hate Mother's Day because they feel like they have a childless home. Several years ago, Alexander Wolcott described something that happened in a New York City hospital. A woman sat in a lounge chair in that hospital, weeping, tears streaming down her face. A head nurse was speaking to her because that woman had just lost her only child. She stared at the wall with this blank face as the nurse spoke, because that's what head nurses are supposed to do. And then the head nurse said this, "Mrs. Norris, did you notice the shabby little boy sitting in the hall just next to your daughter's room?" "No," she mumbled. "Well, there," the nurse said, "there is a case. That little boy's mother is a young French woman. She was brought in a week ago by ambulance from their shabby one-bedroom apartment where they had gravitated when they came to this country about 3 months ago. They had lost all their people in the old country, and they didn't know anybody here." The two had only each other. "Well, Mrs. Norris, every day that little boy, he comes here and he sits from sun up to sundown in the vain hope that his little mother will wake up and speak to him. Now he has no home at all." Now Mrs. Norris was listening pretty well, and the nurse continued. She said 15 minutes ago, his mother died. Dropped like a little pebble into the tremendous ocean. And now I have to go tell him, because it's my duty, that at the age of 7, he's all alone in this world. And then she said, "Say, you don't suppose, Mrs. Norris, you don't suppose that, well, that you'd go tell him for me, would you?" And at that, something wonderful happened. Mrs. Norris stood up, wiped away her tears, walked over and put her arm around that homeless child and led him to her childless home. And you see, that's a pretty good picture of the church in this fallen world. And so in the name of Jesus, may you go downstairs and have some cake and love your mother and be a good mother, because you're not alone. In Jesus' name, amen.